we're seeing here in Europe already suggests this is morphing into a global issue.
They now have to keep printing or we crash.
We've got this ticking time bomb.
Talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire.
Welcome to Live from the Vault.
Welcome to Live from the Vault. Live from the Vault is the show that goes beyond the headlines and uncovers the truth about the precious metals industry and the effects on the global economy in these historic times. With exclusive access to experts and industry insiders, we reveal information and insights that you simply won't find anywhere else. Hi, my name is Shane Morand, and I'll be your host for this week's episode, and we'll be joined very shortly here by the one and only precious metals expert and whistleblower, Andrew Maguire, as we pull back the curtains on the intricate world of the gold and silver markets and expose what's really going on in the precious metals industry. So get ready for another blockbuster episode of Live from the Vault, and we'll bring you knowledge and the understanding that the mainstream media just will not provide. But just before we head over to the UK, please help us keep spreading the word about this channel by hitting that like button, share this information out, and if you haven't already subscribed, make sure to do that. And if you click on that little bell there, we will notify you as each episode goes live. And with that, let's head over to the UK and Talking Gold with Andrew Maguire. Hey, Andrew, let's start off this week by picking up the thread from our last market. Can you believe it's been 2 weeks ago? It feels like it's been a month or two. But in particular, you drew attention to the sheer scale of the BRICS de-dollarization process, and it's setting us up for a gold revaluation. Can we start our episode right here?
Yeah, great to be with you, Shane. Great to be with everyone again. So much to go through. So let's get going here. And obviously, I'm really looking forward to updating this because we've got information, more information on this. But you know what? I had so many questions over the last 2 weeks of, well, clearly intense paper market volatility. And then just since our last episode. And it's generated so many questions. Perhaps it's a good idea to start this episode just by quickly digging beneath the very short-term chart chatter. Which really has revealed some very interesting central bank footprints. We're always looking to show where they are. And then we'll look at the all-important de-dollarization updates, really, which is definitely readying for a geopolitically accelerated launch of Glasnev's gold-backed commodity currency. Now, this past 2 weeks of synthetically driven counterintuitive action once again draws really unwanted attention to just how hard it is becoming to hide the footprints of an accelerating de-dollarization process. Now, this was particularly evident during this last two-week period, because the cartel had the advantage of position concentration into the insider-known, politically rigged, so-called non-farm payrolls beat. Everyone knows that is one of the biggest events, and especially as the FOMC set it up that we're data dependent. And really, at this point, that is the perfect trigger for an algo to gain the ranges. And so this politically sought beat, and we'll look at the detail of that in a little while, this position concentration position provided them a hell of an advantage as we headed into this really the February trading of last week. And this is only a few days ago, we're talking about last Friday. And while this exchange of dollars for gold has been possible for the US hegemon to hide into a chart-painted, multi-decade, psyops-induced, bearish gold market condition, the flow of dollars into gold is much more difficult to hide after gold was reclassified under Basel III legislation as a first-year asset class in January of last year. So that's become a lot easier. And there's a lot of evidence that the structure of this COMEX bubble is changing. Now, we tracked the process closely of all of last year. And right on cue, gold actually did hit all-time highs around $2,150 into the end of the fourth quarter of 2023. As the efforts to hide this exchange for fiat dollars for gold began to actually backfire against the Fed's efforts massive efforts to cap gold using synthetic means. Now, what has evolved is that the required volume of COMEX open interest, meaning the casino chips that are needed to continue to generate enough leveraged synthetic gold supply to suppress unleveraged gold from benchmarking a real physically determined supply demand price against the dollar, that is fast evaporating. Not only, you know, we only have to look at the impossible to hide published COMEX open interest data. They have to report data. So again, it's done as thinly as possible to try and disguise the footprints. But you just step back and look. In 2020, there was close to 800,000 chips had been loaned to the speculators. And that represented close to 80 million ounces. And that was equaling to about 2,500 tons of unbacked paper gold warrants that were made available to be traded every day. And that represented around all of the new gold mined in a year being controlled by the casino every single day. However, fast forward to this week, and we see that half of these speculators have bailed out. Currently, on a high volume day, we see around 1,000 tons getting battered around the rigged house tables. Well, still, that's still a ludicrous third of annual gold global mine supply traded every day, which really goes to show this is not producer hedging. But it's nevertheless a process where the only non-compliant global gold exchange is actually on a slippery slope to comply and presents us a reason to capitalize on this event, just as central banks and sovereign buyers are doing right now. Now, a huge global uptake of unleveraged physical gold is really backwashing into this non-compliant COMEX exchange. And I'm going to give you some examples of that in a minute. But the elephant in the room is the sheer scale of the what we call the exchange for physical outflows, this the back door of the COMEX that we've referred to multiple times, the Achilles heel of the COMEX, where 96% leveraged gold warrants, i.e. you only have to fund them for 4%, and suddenly they exit the EFP. That's a 96% refunding of those leveraged gold warrants being alchemized, and there's no other word for it, into a fully funded, NSFR-compliant, deliverable bullion position exiting the hands of the Fed-run cartel. This is what's happening. And you might, in the daily chart chatter, you may not see it. Step back and look. It's becoming very, very dangerous for the Fed, the only central bank who's still seeking a lower gold price against the dollar, is being forced to pick up the slack themselves. Something that is evident in the Bank of International Settlements official swaps report. So we love to dig up official reports and connect all the little pieces of the jigsaw. And while every other global central bank, without exception, are on record, accumulated unprecedented tonnages of physical gold to add to their reserves, that's on record, as well as the Global South BRICS nations are concurrently off the record, swapping billions of dollars to purchase unreported, you don't have to report monetary FS gold, but that is what's happening. And so the recent 120 tons that the Bank of International Settlements reports of gold swaps and don't forget the Bank of International Settlements squared all of their swaps of 500 odd tons of swaps in November 2022. So these 120 tons are 100% on the books of the Fed. Now, this is not going unnoticed. And this short-term Fed intervention is viewed by liquidity providers facing a very tight for supply, strong demand, global physical market at current prices, that is, is showing them the Fed as showing a weak hand. Now, historically, the Fed could rely on leasing out, then rebuying hundreds of tons of gold leases at the expense of the lead by the nose CTAs, the speculators, who could be relied on to borrow enough casino chips from the house to regularly be called in on these loans at a loss. That's how the game worked. This historically enabled the Fed to repay these short-term BIS leases ahead of exposing themselves to buying these leases back at a higher price. Now, there just aren't enough useful fools to take the other side of this trade to get any significant traction. And following the FX gold, foreign exchange gold being reclassified as a first-tier asset class on the 1st of January, 1 year ago, foreign exchange gold now directly competes with Federal Reserve notes. And the BIS swap trade has not been going well for them. And bottom line, the casinos controlling hegemons are running into a far more aggressive de-dollarizing process than they ever expected. And what we're drawing attention to is that there's now insufficient CTA, this siloed open interest that lives in this COMEX bubble, sufficient to offset a massive central bank-driven exchange of dollars for gold, meaning these leases aren't any longer able to be equitably squared. And this leaves the Fed in an untenable position of adding to their already deeply rehypothecated central bank exposure. We've looked at it multiple times. And in other words, the Fed is so desperate to keep a lid on gold from breaking out, it's ending up throwing really a shrinking supply of what we call sight account bullion into the hands of competing central banks. Under the short-term chart chatter, this becomes evident again into the insider-known non-farm payrolls gold rinse attempt.
Now, Andrew, just before we started recording here, you showed me some interesting data that really illustrates just how deep a hole the Fed is digging right now. Can you share this data? It's quite staggering.
Yeah, Shane, and this is exactly where this gets interesting. And while we've drawn attention to the much larger central bank sovereign de-dollarizing footprints, who have on and off the record accrued sufficient physical gold to be able to choose their moment to revalue gold, last week's non-farm payrolls gaming, and this is why I'm using this as an example, you rarely get a chance to highlight this stuff. And it provided us a rare window into just how aggressive competing central banks have become in alchemizing the Fed's COMEX-capped, synthetically contained paper gold ranges. Now, these grossly undervalued bullion purchases are being obtained by central banks and sovereigns exchanging literally billions of dollars for fast depreciating weaponized dollars by way of the COMEX backdoor EFP mechanism, which we've drawn attention to. And where central banks really, this is the key thing. This is the only place central banks are able, the only globally accessible source of immediately deliverable wholesale bullion without driving the immediate wholesale price significantly higher. Thank you, Fed. And what we're seeing is these strategically timed central bank de-dollarizing efforts are exponentially stepping up, really capitalizing on these fully anticipated historical house-rigged paper gold selling events. They're just too easy to pick off, which is why, despite the Fed throwing the kitchen sink at gold and, of course, related silver, the sequence of higher physically supported gold stair steps are impossible to hide. And the next stair step support, as assessed by the first-tier liquidity providers, is going to be at 3,000, not 2,000 as it is right now. And it's spooking a dwindling number of led-by-the-nose COMEX customers who've actually been led to believe betting against gold was actually a profitable bet. So let's put this into context, though, because this is important. So far, at the open of 2024 trade, just two non-farm payrolls on Friday, we evidenced a massive 110,407 leverage COMEX gold warrants being alchemized, EFP'd into a fully funded, 100% fully backed, NSFR compliant, deliverable physical bullion position. Now, let's put that into context. That is over 11 million ounces of gold, 345 tons, removed from the COMEX exchange during the first 23 trading days of 2024 trading. That is a head spinning. And you know what? These things roll off the tongue. That's a head spinning. 27 billion, 601 million, $750,000 of liquidity that has exited the dwindling COMEX CTA meat grinder. And that's just in the first 23, 24 trading sessions of this year. And that's averaging over 14 tons of bullion outflows per day. This is unsustainable. And these tonnage outflows are continuing at the same rate into today, yet again.
You know, Andy, these numbers are absolutely incredible. In our last market update, again, 2 weeks ago, you specifically drew our attention to the really tight trading range and why the 2,000 gold level was going to act as a support, and that the 250, only $50 more, was being officially capped, you know, by this counterintuitive action that was coiling gold into a huge rally here. Tell us what you're seeing.
Yeah, bang on, Shane. I specifically had drawn attention to the main reason for this frustratingly sideways capped gold range, where we've had about a $50 range, where we've identified two levels of competing central bank spot gold buy orders, really both of which the cartel really had tried to avoid getting filled for obvious reasons, hence the very tight synthetic range. Now, the two levels that we had identified are where the very large competing central bank limit orders, or in layman's terms, language, that's dip buy orders. In other words, you go down there and they're ready to buy it. They're aggregated at the spot gold 2000 level, which we can see now that has been tactically front run by the cartel, despite all of the gaming they're really avoiding them getting filled. And this is the reason that 2000 gold has become a higher support stair step. But if you recall, we had also reported very large central bank buy stops, which are simply sidelined buy orders waiting to be triggered at the top of the cap range. And that was at spot 2050. Now, this is precisely where we catch the cartel wrong-footed, which was just after our last episode. I think the 2 days after our last, 1 day after our last episode. So it was last Thursday, a full day ahead of the insider-known non-farm payrolls beat being published, which was on last Friday, which is a few days ago. We were provided a rare window into the paper-to-physical battle in live time. Now, usually these footprints are covered over, but such large unfactored physical orders had appeared ahead of the Thursday PM gold fix that these massive central bank buy stops at spot 2050 were actually hit, triggering a very large 28.8 tons of EFP outflows just on that one single day, as the COMEX was once again raided for bullion at a huge discount to the spot foreign exchange gold price. Now, what's interesting is we captured this scramble for physical live on Thursday, and we've snapshotted it here for you to see on this intraday central bank raid. Now, this snapshot captures a massive, as you can see, an $8.80 spot premium per ounce being commanded over against the in-delivery February gold futures contract, as global central banks pounced on this EFP discount, successfully raiding the insiders' attempts to cap gold into this CTA-driven learned non-farm payrolls behavior. They know this game now. In fact, the pit open on that day, and we just happened to catch it in time, the spot gold premium over the casino Feb contract was as high as $11.10 per ounce, evidencing over 47 tons of discounted gold being removed before it was arbitraged by the pit managers. This was not what the Fed had planned. This miscalculation cost them dearly, and it's yet to be paid back. Now, the anticipated politically sought so-called non-farm payrolls beat that followed on Friday was not just comical, it was farcical. And this Sierra Hedge article, and really the title just about says it all. And really, we're talking about, they talk about this ridiculous jobs, the most ridiculous job report in recent history. It's worth looking at this. And I'm obviously, we're going to provide you the link for that. But footprints following non-farm payrolls evidenced a complete capitulation. Every single CTA long who'd gathered on, who'd basically bought into the rally, and then immediately got rinsed. Every single one of them got rinsed. This is the weak hands, and good riddance to them. But given the dollar rally was reacting to this so-called headline beat, was triggering automated gold and silver future selling, what was interesting was offsetting central bank and safe haven geopolitical demand saw gold really holding up relatively well into this dollar rally.
Andrew, this is fascinating, and another reason why, you know, our community just can't get this information anywhere else. Now, you had mentioned you had an update on how the de-dollarization process is advancing towards the inevitable, you know, gold price revaluation. How are we here?
Yeah, Shane. So really picking up on from what we reported in our last market update episode, that was recorded, as you say, I can't believe it, 2 weeks ago, 24th of January. We've got fresh, credible information that Glasnier's gold-backed commodity currency is very close to being launched. Now, the launch process has been brought forward this past 2 weeks following officially coordinated, widely published mainstream media news reports that NATO is preparing for war with Russia. Now, while this war drum beating looks like more like posturing, I mean, lashing out pretty much against the failing proxy war against Russia currently being played out on the battlefields of Ukraine, these threats are being taken seriously by Russia, China, and Iran. And preparations are ramping up. These guys are not waiting to be sanctioned. In fact, this morning, Medvedev warned if war with NATO happened, it would not be fought in the trenches. Instead, it would result in the use of ballistic, hypersonic, nuclear missiles, resulting in an apocalypse. Well, clearly, who is, and this makes a farce out of, even in the UK here, we were talking about conscription for soldiers, you know, to fight a war with Russia. This is ludicrous stuff. It would simply not be fought in the trenches. And during the first 4 weeks of 2024, though, the risks of a military conflict between NATO and the three Sino-Russian Iranian Global South BRICS members greatly raises the odds of a weaponized gold price revaluation trigger point. And we need to be ready. And as we highlighted in our last episode, the reason you need to be ready is really what to expect for those exposed to bets made inside the unbacked paper settle COMEX gold and silver markets, which we looked at last time. And as we outlined, following Russia openly converting all their dollar assets into gold ahead of its military operation in Ukraine in 2022, we also drew attention to credible evidence that the bulk of China's undisclosed over 3.4 trillion of shadow banking FX reserves have been or are being converted into physical gold bullion. And this backs up the median liquidity provider consensus that the PBOC has been able to salt plus or minus 40,000 tons of gold into the state-held banks without raising a red flag. Converting these FX reserves, which due to global NSFR standards have really recategorized FX gold to the first-tier asset class, has sanction-proofed the bulk of these over $3 trillion of unreported shadow banking reserves, while still enabling these dollar-related assets to be used as collateral for everyday global trade. And more importantly, it enables China and Russia to act as the primary liquidity providers to back Glasnev's commodity currency with deposits of the necessary physical gold assets to actually be liquid enough to handle this oil and energy trade and commodity trade. And furthermore, once the extent of China's de-dollarizing efforts are realized, there will be a race out of the dollar into physical gold. And clearly, the scale of such a massive imbalance between the comparatively tiny Western reported US and European gold bullion holdings versus an estimated aggregated 60,000 tons accrued by the well-established 2013 Sino-Russia alliance. And I remember talking about this on Max Kaiser in 2013. We talked about this alliance being established. Ultimately puts these two collaborating central banks in complete control of the real supply-demand gold price discovery process, essentially in control of a no-shots-fired, weaponized gold price nuclear option, far more preferable than a one-off exchange of vaporizing nuclear missiles. And our Sino-Russia wholesale market context report this gold-backed commodity currency is very much now on the front burner. And while it's been illegal to export gold out of mainland China for many years, we now hear of far stricter Russian export controls for obvious reasons. Now, given the pace of official and unofficial central bank gold accumulations alongside heightened geopolitical escalations, bolstering the growing arbitrable divergence between paper gold and physical, the nuclear gold revaluation option, which won't see a single shot fired, all China and Russia needs to reveal is just how much physical gold backs up their respective currencies and to simultaneously revalue gold. And this will be the massive multipolar hegemonic pushback against Biden's, NATO's win-lose geopolitical ambitions, far, far, far more preferable than a hard war, which would not suit the hegemons either. And with the Fed extremely wrong-footed in the gold market, when NATO's push comes to shove against Russia or against China, over Taiwan, or more very immediately, probably the risk of a conflict in the South China Sea, with all the battleships there, it's a dangerous situation. We would not rule out a move by China and Russia to strategically front-run a well-timed gold price revaluation. Now, I really do hope to provide more information on the launch of this gold-backed currency and its name by the 1st of March.
Wow, fascinating, Andrew. Now, we get a lot of questions here in the community, and one of the themes, Andy, is what are you seeing short-term? So I might as well ask you, what are you seeing short term? Yeah,
absolutely. And that's probably the most asked question. We're recording this on Wednesday, the 7th, and I just saw reported that the NYCB has just been downgraded to junk by Moody's, which is undoubtedly why Yellen was dragged out yesterday, referring to some banks. I can't use her voice, and anyway, it scares me when I hear her voice, but anyway, some banks may be quite stressed, she says, about the empty office building trouble. No shit, Sherlock. I mean, the very fact that she's out trying to soothe the market suggests this is the next CRE shooter job. And what we're seeing here in Europe already suggests this is morphing into a global issue. This has not yet filtered through to the risk chasing market chasers, but it will, and they will ultimately be looking for safe havens to protect risk investments. And this, along with really very largely blinkered, they are so blinkered to geopolitical risk. Why? When you're sitting in this bubble in the US and you're so far away from all this stuff that's going on, which unfortunately we are closer to, really these political risks are just discounted. They're blinkered. But they are one of a myriad of drivers evidencing gold alongside concurrent safe haven dollar demand. So you're seeing both, which, given both are classified as first-tier assets, and given that these foreign exchange crosses technically compete with each other because you're long one side, short the other, technically. So on the surface, it's roiling the FX crosses when you see gold rising alongside the dollar. However, the automated momentum chasers selling unbacked gold and silver futures contracts into each upside tick of the dollar index are completely unaware that the leverage supply that they're creating is running into safe haven deliverable spot gold demand. Hence, the insiders, market-making insiders that are exposed to the NSFR-compliant physical markets, are quick to take the long side of these CTA naked short sales. And who is going to be the loser?
Wow, that's amazing. Now, Andrew, as we wrap up here, where do you see silver here?
This synthetic silver action, driving silver close to a mind-boggling 92 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold today, exposes the extremely wrong footing of this momentum-driven specs, who, while chasing a dot on a screen, has zero visibility into the tight for supply 1,000-ounce wholesale market. Yes, we can get 1,000-ounce wholesale bars, but it's the softness in the retail silver demand that's fooling the CTAs into chasing silver deep below what really are buoyant wholesale demand prices. And while this soft retail silver demand continues to suck in the CTA momentum sellers, what is still not filtered through is that the huge wholesale Indian silver demand has significantly tightened silver 1,000-ounce supply. And silver is coiling for a very large move, and as you know, which is pretty much what we assessed last episode. So now, interesting, the LBMA 2024 silver forecast varies enormously, and that was produced yesterday, I think it was. It predicts massive price volatility with their predicted trading range, a trading range of $14. Between $18 and $32 for 2024, which compares to the actual trading range of about $6 last year. Now, this disingenuous club of so-called professional traders are trying to spin this is an acceptable volatile range, and it'd be quite normal and gives them the perfect, you know, needs someone to take the other side of this bet, though. But then what they're not anticipating is what a gold price revaluation is going to do to silver. And the cartel's breakpoint is $35, which would easily be run through, triggering a bid-only short-covering spree that would really completely obliterate the synthetic ratio bubble, exposing really a real 8-to-1 ratio, which is where silver should be. And so, you know, if you do that into a $3,000 gold support stair step, that potentially prices silver at $375 an ounce. And I'm not saying this is going to be achieved in one fell swoop, but liquidity providers do anticipate a range of $50 to $200 once gold breaks out of its cap range above $35. So what are we saying here? The message we are sending is really one of wealth preservation. And the message is that under the daily chart chatter, this enormous volatility you're seeing here, de-dollarization and a gold price revaluation is on the front burner. And the reason I've also put it on the front burner is that unfactored geopolitical escalations raise the odds of it coming when everybody least expects it. So it leaves just one question. How much physical gold and silver do you own?
Yes, and thank you, Andrew McGuire, for talking gold. And remember, to our Live from the Vault community, buy physical. Make sure it's backed 1-to-1 and understand the difference between what Andy calls the casino paper gold and silver markets and the actual physical gold and silver markets. They're not the same. Don't be fooled. So there you have it. That's all we have for you today on another fascinating episode of Live from the Vault. So please help keep spreading the word about this channel by hitting that like button right there. If you haven't already done so, you know, share this information out and make sure you subscribe. And if you click on that bell right there, you will be notified in real time as each episode goes live. And with that, we'll see you next time right here on Live from the Vault. See you then.